Bibles open. We are going to need to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah. We have 45 minutes, and we only have to cover 114 verses in 45 minutes. So I think that's like 30 seconds per verse or something like that. I'm not sure. And some of them we will group together in that respect. But we're at the end of the book of Jeremiah. I want you to understand how important these last three chapters, starting in chapter 50, how important they are. Well, last week we looked at the next slide that'll be on the screen, and that is in the closing chapters of Jeremiah, God's judgment comes against 11 nations. And so we just hurriedly looked. God's talking about all of these nations, and we're not going to list those nations again. The names of those nations are on the screen, but having looked at all of those 11 nations that surround Babylon, he then gets to Babylon. And that's what this lesson tonight is. We've looked at those 11 nations, and now the last three chapters have to do with Babylon. You need to have an appreciation and an understanding. I think you do if you've been in this auditorium class when I've talked about Isaiah, in the Sunday morning class when we've talked about Revelation and in other classes. You need to understand the importance of Babylon in the Bible. You think about how long Egypt's been around. Isn't that amazing? The Egyptians go all the way back to the pyramids, all the way back to the time of Abraham. Isn't that amazing? Egypt is all the way from Abraham to baby Jesus going down to the land of Egypt. Egypt is there, you know, forever. And then you get to the Old Testament and you've got Syria that is there. And did not Jesus talk about that Syro-Phoenician woman? That woman from Syria, Phoenicia? Syria's always been there. Where was Paul converted? On the road to Damascus. That's Syria. Where do you read about Syria? You'll read about Syria back during the time of David. The Syrians are a problem there. And so you've got all the way from the time of David all the way to the conversion of Paul. You've got Syria. And so you've got Assyria, and think about how long Greece was around in the whole picture of it. Think about Rome and how long in the history of the Bible and prophetically, how long Rome was in the picture. Here, listen to this, here is a nation that pops up for 70 years, and then it's gone. But it's mentioned over and over and over again in the Bible. Now, I say it pops up. It's back there where they built the Tower to Heaven. You remember the name of that place where God confused the tongue? It's not called Babylon there, but it's called in a word that's so closely associated with Babylon. If I say Babylon and I say Babel, that's close, and it's the same place. And so there it is back there. Then it just sort of fades out of the picture, and you don't read anything at all about it. You get to the time of Hezekiah, and when Hezekiah was sick and prayed that he might live longer, remember God let him extended his life for 15 years, and some people from Babylon came and to congratulate Hezekiah. Hezekiah lives at the time of the fall of the northern kingdom. Pardon me, even though he is a king down in the southern kingdom, and when they come, Isaiah said, "Who are these strangers?" And Hezekiah says, they come from a far country. Guess what happened? They saw all the gold. They saw Solomon's temple. They saw all the riches and how God was letting his nation prosper. And then they sort of fade out of the picture. And then all of a sudden you get to the book of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And all of a sudden, man, they're all over the place. And it is important for us to recognize that when Isaiah talked about Babylon, 750 B.C., that's 150 years before Babylon reaches any ascendancy at all. Isaiah talks about Babylon and says Babylon will never be inherited or never be inhabited once it is destroyed. Why does God place so much importance on Babylon? Well, where's Babylon found? It's found those 70 years. And then you get to the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. Symbolically, remember book of Revelation, a revelation Seven churches in Asia, symbolically, in signs of things which must shortly happen. And there's Babylon all the way through the book of Revelation. It is remarkable the importance of this nation. Now then, we have arrived in the book of Jeremiah, where Babylonian captivity is about to begin. Do not turn to chapter 52 right now, but chapter 52 has information about the Babylonian captivity, about the fall of Jerusalem. You don't read about it anywhere else in the Bible. You think it'd be in Kings and Chronicles, and it is in Kings and Chronicles, but the very last chapter of Jeremiah describes and gives details of the fall of Jerusalem, and we were taken captive, and when Nebuchadnezzar came, that you will not find elsewhere in the Bible. Let's look in chapter 50. Let's assume you are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you're already in Babylon before Jeremiah really becomes the prominent preacher there. I mean, you've known of Jeremiah as a teenager, and now you're over in Babylon, or you're one of those later groups. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar came three times to carry captives back, and now they're going to be over there in 70 years. God needs to give a message to all of those people in Babylon, and oh, what a message it is. This is the last book of the Bible that was written before the 70-year start. And it is happening when Jeremiah writes this book. And so they're headed for captivity, or they're already over there in captivity, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others who were over there. And God gives a final message. Now then, what's Babylon like? It's the most astounding kingdom there is. When it pops up, it doesn't just sort of pop up and, you know, as nothing. It had walls 350 feet high. It had one building. Listen to this, Darren, you're involved, and Dirk, you're involved in building. It had one building that went 600 feet up into the air. That's all that is. Can you imagine the scaffolding it takes just to build a building? And there was one building that was 1/2 mile in circumference. You know the size of that building? It had one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It is described, Isaiah describes it, as the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency. I mean, when it pops up, it is the most magnificent city there is. It looks like it will never be destroyed. And so when they destroy Jerusalem, God has got to say to the world, and listen to this, has got to say to the world, I let them destroy Jerusalem. I let them destroy my temple. They're going to come and destroy the holy place, the most holy place. They're going to take the Ark of the Covenant away, hiding it so far that even Indiana Jones could not find it. I mean, you've got to understand. You've got to. And so this is the message. As they're headed to Babylon, listen to the message. You'll have to have your Bible, though. We're not going to read every verse here. Look in verse 1, chapter 50, verse 1. The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. I want you to look in this chapter, the words against Babylon, against Babylon, against Babylon. And so they are the zenith of their ascendancy. And the Lord says, declare among the nations, verse 2, proclaim and set up a standard, proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Baal, who is the principal god, Baal is shame. Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are humiliated, her images are broken down. And then he says, for out of the north, there's a nation that's coming against her. So Babylon's about to fall. Now it's going to be 70 years later. But in the present tense, as they head over there, or as they're over there, don't you worry about Babylon, because God is going to bring judgment against her. Look at verse 4. In those days and at that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, with continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord God. Israel and Judah, those 12 tribes, That's where they're all over in Babylon and in the part of that world that Babylon controls. And he says, they will come rejoicing. Here's what they will ask the Lord. They shall ask, verse 5, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall never be forgotten. You're over there in Babylon, that remnant, here's this book written to that remnant. And here's the prophecy is, those of you who are in Babylon will be joined together and will be saying, the Lord bless us. Look at verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They've turned them away to the mountains. They've gone from mountains to hills. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, verse 7, behold, they have sinned against the Lord. The habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. They've sinned against God. But he says, guess what? Get away from Babylon. An atomic heavenly bomb is about to be dropped on Babylon. Walls, so you could not destroy Babylon. There's no way to destroy it. And the Lord said, get out of Babylon. Move, he says. Move from the, verse 8, move from the midst of Babylon, go out of the land of Chaldeans and be like the rams before the flock. Here's the ram, here's the leaders of the sheep. You lead the exodus from Babylon. Why would you do that? It's the greatest kingdom on earth. It is the place to live. And the Lord says, get out of Babylon as soon as you can. Because I will raise up, verse 9, I will raise up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations. It's not just the Medes and the Persians. It's all the nations of the world are headed there to destroy Babylon. Why? Because God has said, I am ready to punish Babylon for destroying Jerusalem. That is stated in this chapter. Every transgression and disobedience receives the just recompense of the Lord. And even though the Lord let Nebuchadnezzar destroy Jerusalem, the Lord said, I'm going to punish you for it. Those are my people. You were evil men doing my will, but even evil men's the work that they do is going to be rewarded of God. Look in verse 11. Why is Babylon going to destroy it? Why is God doing this to Babylon? Because you were glad, because you rejoice. Your destroyer, you destroyers of my heritage, that's the Jewish nation, because you have grown fat and like a heifer threshing grain, and you bellow like the bulls. That's Babylon. And he said, you have come against my people. Look in verse 10, he says, and the Chaldea, shall become plunder, and all who plunder her shall be satisfied. God says, Babylon is coming down, and go in and take every spoil that you had there. So he says to these nations, in verse 14, put yourself in array against Babylon all around her. All you who bend the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her all around. She has given her hands, her foundation have fallen, her walls are thrown down. Those 350-foot walls. They're headed to Babylon, and in 70 years, don't worry about those walls. You cannot get a ladder high enough to get over a wall 350 feet high. Whoever's got the high ground is going to win. Not when God said Babylon's going to fall. Now, we've talked about this. Don't have time to talk a lot about it. When the Medes and the Persians came there, inside the walls of those cities had 20 years of food. The Euphrates River came right through the middle, had all the water they could eat, and had provisions for 20 years. Come on, Medes and Persians, surround the city. We don't care. We don't care at all. By the time we start getting hungry in here, your 30-year-old soldiers will be 50-year-old men pushing these walkers all around the walls of the city. you know, your harnesses of your animals will be rotted and your swords will be rusted. How on earth could you take that city? Remember the handwriting on the wall? Daniel saw that handwriting on the wall. That is the very, very time when the Medes and the Persians had surrounded the city, and instead of them being terrified, they're having a feast. In fact, they called for the vessels of the temple that are mentioned. They're mentioned over here in chapter 52. He calls for those vessels to be brought in, and they take those golden vessels, those holy vessels from the temple, and they're toasting their gods. And the Lord says, come against them. He says, look in verse 15, shout against her, and the latter part of it, the middle of verse 15, it is the vengeance of the Lord, take vengeance on her, as she has done, it shall be done to her. You remember those 11 nations that we looked at last week and that beginning slide tonight? Guess who destroyed all of those nations? Babylon did. And they went out and just wiped out all of these nations. And they wiped out Judaism. It looked like they had destroyed Jerusalem when in reality it was just a matter of time before they were allowed to come back. He said, cut off the sower in Babylon and him who handles the sickle at harvest time. For fear of the oppressing sword, everyone shall turn to his own people and everyone shall flee to his own land. God's taking judgment against Babylon. There is no hope. There is no hope. And then he says, therefore says the Lord, look at verse 18. Therefore thus says the Lord of the hosts, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon in his hand as I have punished the kings of Assyria. You know, Nebuchadnezzar overthrew Assyria. I will bring back Israel to his home, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied, Mount Ephraim, Bashan. Isn't that amazing? The Jews are a nothing nation. They've been wiped off the earth. Nebuchadnezzar's destroyed, and the Lord said, nope, they're coming back. They're coming back, and I am going to bless them. In those days, verse 20, in those days, and at that time, says the Lord, the mighty of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be no more, and the sins of Judah, for they shall not be found, for I will pardon those whom I preserve. That's that righteous remnant. Don't you ever be afraid to be the only one doing right. When everybody around is saying, let's do wrong, let's be cute to do, let's do this evil, you got to be like Daniel, teenager, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you got to be like these adults that the Lord says, that's the way you've got to be. I am going to reward those whom I have preserved. Let's skip down to verse 29. We can't read every one of these verses. Let me tell you, please read Jeremiah. It's the easiest book in the Old Testament to understand. You put it in its historical setting. There are a few difficult places in it. It's just such a readable thing. Sins of Judah, they're headed into Babylon captivity. You got to repent, got to change your life. You're looking to these false prophets. And Jeremiah says, listen to me, and what they do? They keep throwing him into prison, down to the pit, and all the rest. He just keeps right on pounding away. And these are his last words. These are his last words. So look in verse 29. Call together the archers against Babylon. All you who bend the bow, encamp against and around it. Let no one escape. Let none of them escape. Repay her according to her works, according to all she has done, do it to her. God is not mocked. Whatever a man, you know that verse? Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. That's what Babylon's done. They've come against God's holy nation. Now, God let them come. That's the only reason they could get into Jerusalem. And now they're lifted up with pride saying, I am the greatest. Nobody will ever, ever bring us down. And the Lord says, when Babylon comes down, it will never be inhabited. That's what Isaiah said 750 B.C. before they ever started that rise in the world. And the Lord says, and when Babylon is destroyed, it will never be inhabited. We talked about this last week. the Shah of Iran, and a guy by the name of Saddam Hussein said, I'm going to go rebuild that city. No, you're not. God is going to wipe out this nation that was so filled with pride, saying, we're greater than the God of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar walking through, King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4. Look at this great kingdom that I've made. I am so wonderful. And that, and the Lord, the very time he uttered those words, God had through Daniel said, you'll go out and you'll eat grass like an oxen. And your hair will be matted together. And your fingernails will grow like eagle's claws. Go ahead, Nebuchadnezzar, do it. That's Babylon. And God has placed Babylon in the Bible as evidence of the fact that it doesn't make any difference how great any kingdom becomes, God's still on the throne. You believe in God, believe also in me. You got to remember that. And so we look at America. Well, look how great America is, and it has been great. Well, what about England? Where was England at one time? The sun never sets on the British Empire. It never rises. All right, I mean, you know, even Prince Harry is leaving. You understand? You got to understand, you know. And they're coming to Canada, but I think they're going to sneak down to California. But you understand what I'm saying? Great, you're not great. And if there's any message that is in this chapter, we've got so many verses. Look in verse 35. Look at verse 33. Thus says the Lord, the children of Israel were oppressed along with the children of Judah, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, and all who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer, capital R, and it ought to be capitalized, of Israel and Judah, the Lord of hosts, that is His name, He is their Redeemer. He will thoroughly plead their case that He may give rest into the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. So verse 35, the swords against the Chaldeans, against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her princes, and against her wise men. A sword is against all of the soothsayers, and they will be fools. A sword is against the mighty men, and they will be dismayed. Handwriting on the wall? What's that mean on the wall? He called in all of his astrologers, called in every wise man he had, and there wasn't anybody that could interpret Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Who did it? The remnant. Daniel, servant of God. Why? He has not forsaken the God of heaven. And look in verse 44. Well, look in verse 43. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them. His hand is grown feeble. Anguish has taken hold of him, and pangs of the heart of a woman in childbirth. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the flood plains of Jordan. God's coming like a lion. When God gets angry, these are the days of vengeance against Babylon. And that's why, folks, it's called the day of the Lord. That's the day of the Lord. It is the day of the Lord's judgment. Look in verse 45. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that He has taken against Babylon, and His purposes that He hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely He will make their dwelling places desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembles. Figurative language. The earth trembles. And the cry among the nations. Chapter 51, 114 verses. Folks, we're not going to make it. Well, I knew when we started tonight, we're not going to make it. But it's the exact same thing. You're just saying it over and over again. Now, you're in Babylon. You've been over there 50 years. Your grandfather was taken captive, and now you're the grandchild. You're the grandson that's over there. What's going to happen? The Lord said, you're only going to be here 20 more years. And here's that message to you. God said, I am going to destroy Babylon. Verse 1, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against nation and against those who dwell in Lechemai a destroying wind, and the Lord will send winnowers to Babylon. What are winnowers? They're the ones who have the winnowing fan in their hand. Can we talk about Australia? Can we talk about the wind blowing in Australia right now in the news? What was it? 20 million acres, something like that? I mean, I forgot that number. The number's astronomical. Saw a map of Australia. There must be all over. One place to another, there must be more than 100 fires, and the wind is blowing there. And that's the Lord said, that's what I'm going to do to Babylon. Bring that winnowing fan there, and let's see how Babylon does. A destroyer wind, and I will send winnowers to Babylon, who shall winter her and empty her land, for it is the day of doom. They shall be against all around her. Against her let the archer bend its bow. And this is in poetical form. In my Bible, the poems of the Old Testament, if it's poetical, it's not written in regular justified text like your Bible. It's written in poem. And so it shows it's poetical. And is this not poetical? Is this not graphic? Do you not see all of this? Look in verse 6. Chapter 51, verse 6. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. Lord's vengeance, day of the Lord, vengeance of the Lord. And God said, I'm bringing all this judgment on it. Does this not sound like revelation to you? Because why? Because it's the very nature of God. This is the very nature of God. Verse 9, the Lord said, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Why? Had they turned to God, what would God have done? Righteousness exalts what? A nation. God turns into hell what? Who? Every nation that forgets God. And that is the whole message of this book. Verse 11, make her arrows bright. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Even identifies the nations that's going to destroy them, like Isaiah did, by the way, 200 years before Cyrus was ever born. I have brought these individuals, among you. Let's skip down to verse 29. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you, I will break the nation in pieces. And now he turns to the Medes and to the Persians and said, like I used Nebuchadnezzar to destroy these 11 nations that we looked at last week and to destroy Jerusalem. Now I've got you are my battle axe, and come, and for with you, I will break the nation in pieces. Look in verse 24. Arise, I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of the Chaldeans for all the evil that they have done in Zion in your sight. Same message, isn't it? You're in Babylon. You got a Bible. And the freshest word, the freshest message from God is this very message. Imagine how comforting this message was to all of those inhabitants. Look in verse 30. Here's the mighty men are mentioned again. Well, no, look in verse 28. Chapter 51, verse 28. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes and governors set and governors and all its rulers, all the land of his dominion, and the land will tremble and sorrow for every purpose, for the Lord has performed against Babylon to make the land of Babylon a desolate without inhabitants. Understand, there was the city of Babylon, And so when the Bible says Babylon will never be inhabited, we're talking about the city. The Arabs are there. Sure they are. But the Arabs will not go to Babylon. Isn't that amazing? Petrol dollars. Shah of Iran said in 1973, or you'd be even born then, you know, but I'm going to rebuild Babylon. And within what? Less than 10 years. The guy is in Mexico. Didn't he die in Mexico someplace like that? And then Saddam Hussein, I'm going to rebuild Babylon. He'll never be inhabited. When God destroyed Babylon, listen to this. When God destroyed Babylon in 535 B.C., Alexander the Great, 330 B.C., comes from Greece, comes marching across the land, you know, and in his massive army. And he's the one who destroys the Medes and the Persian. And when he got to ancient Babylon, he would have passed it by. It was in such ruins that had it not been called to his attention, he would never even known that it was near where Babylon was. And then guess what? It was in the 1850s that we discovered ancient Babylon again. God destroyed it. And it's only the archaeologists gone over there and dug down in all of that sand that was there, and they found the ruins of Babylon. You need to Google ancient Babylon and see some of the things that they have found in Babylon that even Daniel saw in all of those splendors. I've got what verse I was reading. Okay, what did I say? What was the last verse? Verse 29, okay. Look at verse 36. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her seas. I will plead your case is talking about those prayers that have been ascending from people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that remnant. And the Lord said, I've heard that. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to dry up the seas of Babylon. In fact, is it in Isaiah where the Lord says, I will tear down your gates, your iron gates. You know what the Babylon looked like? Where the Euphrates River came right through the middle of it? They had iron gates with spikes that went way, way down deep in the water. So you couldn't get into it. 350-foot walls, you can't get to it. All the Medes and the Persians did, they went up north of north and west of Babylon and diverted the Euphrates River, and the Persian army marched right into the city that had enough food for 20 years. And the very night the handwriting appeared on the wall, Babylon fell. The vessels of God that Nebuchadnezzar had taken, they were toasting their gods. The very next year, those vessels were carried back to Jerusalem. The very first year of the reign of Cyrus, the king of the Persian, the very first year, those vessels that had been used to toast their God, those holy vessels from the temple, are headed back to Jerusalem. This book is so, look in verse 45. Don't you become a Babylonian. Don't you become a Babylonian. See, and that's a message to us, isn't it? Isn't the sinful world like Babylon? And when the Lord said, get out of Babylon, get out of Babylon. Because whatever happened in Babylon stays in Babylon, and you don't need to be there. You understand what I'm saying? I remember one time, the only time Judah and I have ever been to New Orleans, we were down on Bourbon Street and saw all that stuff that was going on. Judah says, let's get out of here. The Lord might be coming back. I don't want to be found on Bourbon Street. Get out of Babylon. Now, you don't have to go to New Orleans. You understand what I'm saying? And so the Lord says, get out. I will plead your cause. Look at verse 37. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like the lion's whelp. In their excitement, I will prepare their feast. I will make them drink that they may rejoice and sleep in perpetual sleep. Go to sleep, Babylon. Nighttime, you're not going to wake up. When I wipe out that city, it will never be inhabited. Verse 49. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar and let Jerusalem come into your mind. What do you do when it looks hopeless? Let Jerusalem come into your mind. Let Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego help you have a renewed determination to serve God. Have I got 2 minutes? How much time have I got left? I got my watch. My watch's not giving the right time. What time is it? What? It's 8? Got 5. Oh, great. Got 5 minutes. Okay. You want the exciting part? Look in verse 59. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Syria, the son of Neriah, and then there's his genealogy. When he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. So here is this servant, godly man, sent by Jeremiah over to Babylon. Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon. You remember last week, the guy got a copy of the Bible. You remember how he cut it out and threw it in the fireplace? Remember that? And Jeremiah wrote it again. Now Jeremiah says, here's a book. Take all of my words and take my words to Babylon. What words? These words we've just been talking about. These 50 chapters, you take these 50 chapters to just Jeremiah wrote a book, all the evil that would come upon Babylon, and all these words are written against, and all the words written against Babylon. Jeremiah said to Sariah, when you arrive in Babylon and see it, read all these words. You shall say, O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, so that none shall remain, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. Never be inhabited. Now it shall be, when you finish reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates River. That river runs right through the middle of Babylon. And so hear the words of Jeremiah tied to a stone, and they sink down in the river. Wonder if they'd ever be seen again. Yeah, what about when the Medes and the Persians dry up that river and walk up there, that river? Throw this into the river. Now it shall be when you have finished the reading of this, you shall tie a stone to it and throw it in the... Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Pretty exciting, isn't it? I have really, really enjoyed this. All right, chapter 52, historical. Historical. No longer it written in poetical form. It's now written in, justified. It's history. And so it tells you what happened. And what happened, and so if you want a detailed description of what happened and the people that were carried away, and he carried away all the nobility and left the poorest people there in the land. Didn't want to leave the land desolate, but he left the uneducated and the unskilled and everything there in the land. Guess who is able to preach to them even after this? Jeremiah is still among them. Jeremiah doesn't go to Babylon. They force him to go down to Egypt. We saw that last week. But he comes back. He's now among the Jews. And you've got the end of this book. I find it amazing how this book is written. It doesn't end in the way you would think. He jumps back from Zedekiah back to the time when Jehoiachin, when Jehoiachin was king. And the Bible says, Jehoiachin, before Zedekiah, before the fall, he was taken captive. Nebuchadnezzar came and took him off the throne and carried him to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar treated him as a fallen king and let him sit at the king's table. It tells you a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar you may not have thought about before. Well, Zedekiah went to Babylon. Guess when he got there, what he did not see? He didn't see the walls. He didn't see that city 600 feet in the air. He didn't see the hanging gardens of Babylon. Why? Because though he went on a cruise to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out. Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out. And it may only be that after he was blind, that he was able to see the truth. I don't know if he ever repented or not. That's it. One more book. I did not think we would cover Jeremiah because I thought we had two more weeks after next week. I thought we had 4 or 5 weeks ago. The night we just covered one chapter, I had miscalculated. I'd forgotten about that we have 2 dead weeks in here, and I thought, well, the new quarter starts in February, and so I got to February to finish Jeremiah. And that's why we rushed through about 14 chapters last week to get here. Now then, the entire book of Lamentation. What is lamentation? What is lamenting? That's what it is. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, weeps. But weeping, in the case of Jeremiah, is not weakness. I grew up in the church, Jeremiah the weeping prophet. And in my view of him, he's a crybaby. How's that for being wrong? How's that for being wrong? And we'll find next week what he's weeping about. Hope you'll be here. Thank you very much for this study. I've enjoyed this one tonight. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good.